use your clumsy Greek knife against my katana, I will cut you in half, stupid gaijin.
I won't be like stabbing a little boy. Not so bastard easy.
My sword is the sharpest in the world. When it was made, it was laid in a flowing river. A feather was put in river, and floated over edge, and was cut in half.
Ryan was content to let the warrior talk. The longer he kept him there, the better the chance of help arriving. The idea of tackling the swordsman with his 18-inch panga wasn't one that Ryan relished.
I can cut locusts in half, and half again, in middle of flight. Cut human hair in half, and half, and half more. Cut helmet in two pieces. Fight an army on own. Defeat greatest samurai ever born. Behead a dragon in air.
The killer slowly shuffled forward, his eyes never leaving Ryan's face. The great palace of Mashashiga was still and silent. From the way the man held the sword, it was obvious to Ryan that at some point he would have to heft it shoulder high to make the downward cut that the weight and shape of the blade dictated. And that would be the chance. He had little doubt that the samurai would be a skillful swordsman, able to use the much longer weapon against the shorter panga.
If you have gods, gaijin, now is time to pray to them. Your poor blood dishonors my steel.
The men were a scant 5 feet apart. Ryan concentrated on the tip of the slightly curved blade, watching for it to move. The instant it started to lift, Ryan dove in, using the panga like a heavy cutlass, jabbing with the needle point at the samurai. Unlike the man's chest and stomach, his thigh was not protected by any armor. Ryan twisted the hilt before he withdrew it. Unfortunately, he just missed the big femoral artery, which would have made it into a killing blow. The man tried to back away from Ryan, stumbling clumsily, blood pouring down his leg onto the wooden floor. He still held the sword at shoulder height, but it was suddenly a defensive weapon as he tried to protect himself from the swift, remorseless advance of the one-eyed man. Now the advantage lay with Ryan. He moved from side to side, changing the panga from hand to hand.
Not like chilling helpless women and children, is it, you murdering bastard?
The man was sweating, the perspiration soaking through the dark scarf around his nose and mouth. Blood puddled the floor at his feet. Ryan was careful not to step into it.
You're gonna bleed to death like a stuck pig, aren't you?
It's not with honor! This is not be done!
Wrong, friend. It's gonna be done.
Ryan saw his chance and fainted again, aiming toward the man's knees. As the samurai dropped the sword edge to counter the attack, Ryan switched the panga to his left hand and focused on an exposed strip of flesh below the helmet and above the armored breastplate. This time, Ryan didn't step back from the attack. Now that he was in close, it was the moment to finish the job. He kneed the man in the groin. The warrior doubled over, and his round helmet fell off. Ryan brought the panga down. The samurai jerked backward, his eyes turned up to the ceiling, pinching the blade between the crushed vertebrae in his neck so that Ryan lost his grip on it. Without missing a beat, Ryan dodged the staggering figure and picked up his Sig Sauer from the ground. The buried panga jerked from side to side, as though it were some sort of bizarre addition to the armor. Ryan watched him with an incurious gaze, knowing that death was only a matter of time. The man's spinal cord was severed and crushed, and the messages from brain to limbs couldn't go on much longer. Ryan holstered the Sig Sauer, but waited a moment to retrieve the 18-inch panga. The body was on its back, head jammed at an awkward angle by the protruding panga, the eyes staring blankly up at nothing. Ryan stooped and rolled the corpse, pulling a face as he got gouts of thick blood on his hands. He tried to tug the panga free, but found it still gripped tight between the shards of bone. He set his foot between the dead man's shoulders and gripped the hilt with both hands. Ryan stood looking at the blood-smeared blade, wondering if there was enough unsullied cloth on the corpse for him to be able to wipe it clean.
The only possible ending to this filthy murder is death, Ryan Kodor.
The voice belonged to Mashashiga, but when Ryan turned slowly, he saw that the new Nambu 9mm gun was steady in the hand of Toyotomi Hideyoshi. The Baron of the Ville was still wearing the loose black cotton robe, the sword tucked casually into the sash. He was barefoot and stood quite still and looked at Ryan, at the crimson steel in his hand and the butchered corpse at his feet. Hideyoshi also wore a cotton robe of crimson and white, with an embroidered heron across the shoulders. And, like his master, he carried his sword in a sash. The corner of his mouth was curled into a cynical sneer.
Our brother Yoshimoto was in order in his proper anger against you, Ryan Corder.
You want to look a little farther back along the corridor?
What would we see? More of our people thrown into death by you?
You'll find at least four corpses down there. A man and two women and a little boy. All killed with a sword.
Or with your clumsy dagger. How will we know?
By looking. You can tell the difference between a narrow sword entrance wound and the kind of wound that this leaves.
Ryan flourished the panga in the shogun's face.
To threaten Lord Masashiga is to entertain a quick bullet in the head, Gaijin.
Stupid bastards.
Ryan poked the body with his foot.
Just who the fuck do you think this is? Why don't you take a look at him? Not too hard, is it?
Do as he says, Hideyoshi. Show his face.
Back away from me, Corda.
He isn't dressed like any of your men. Even I can see that.
It is true, Lord.
The dead face and dark, empty eyes stared into the shogun's.
Ah. Ronan.
Who's Ronan?
Ronan is the name for a lordless samurai. A warrior, often a part of a gang, who owe no royalty to any shogun. They are renegades. Is that the correct word?
Yeah. Renegades. Wolf's heads, they're sometimes called in Deathlands.
I think I recognize him, Lord. Is he not Mori Takarana? He was once in your lordship's service and left some years back, after trouble with one of the young serving boys from the kitchens.
I think you are not wrong. This is unfortunate.
That's the best you can say? I told you there's at least four corpses just along the corridor, and this man was responsible for them all. Could be more hidden around. Four is all I saw.
They will be removed.
Masashiga suddenly bowed very low in Ryan's direction, a gesture mirrored almost instantaneously by his sec boss.
We must offer our sincere apologies to you, Ryan Kodo, for not believing you. It was not honorable of us to behave in that manner. You are our guest.
Ryan shrugged and stooped to wipe the blood off the steel panga.
It happens. If I was you, I'd be more worried about how this man got into your place. And I'd be making a quick check to ensure there aren't any more around.
Hideyoshi nodded, looking at his master.
I will rouse the guards and scour out the walls.
Fine. And I'm going back to bed. Good night.
Ryan turned on his heel and walked away to rejoin the others. The next morning, Ryan helped himself from a breakfast buffet set out in the dining hall. To Ryan and the others' relief, their hosts had laid on a Western-style meal, or an approximation of what they regarded as being a Western-style meal. The scrambled eggs were washed with vinegar, and the bacon had been pickled first. There were balls of rice and surprisingly good hash browns, along with some spiced sausage links and about four different types of fish.
I most strongly urge you, friends, not to essay any of the fish. It is a dire mix of fins, scales, bones, and purest mercury.
Yoshimoto glided into the room, finding the outlander seated at a table.
One dead ronin, and one fluttering its wings in the cage of Lord Masashiga. And all from the health of the knife-using Gaijin.
You mean there's a prisoner as well?
Yes.
He do any chilling?
Yoshimoto shook his head, beaming at them, a stray spear of sunlight coming through the slats in the bamboo blinds and glowing across the scar on his face.
We found where the first man broke in. Perhaps there was help from within. A rope hung down into the water, and a small rowboat was there, made from skins painted black. Toyotomi Hideyoshi went in with three other samurai across the bridge and made a circle around about the fortress, through the trees. There they caught another such man. Now he waits to die.
Is he going to be executed?
The samurai looked past Christie, his eyes watching dust motes in the morning sunlight. For a moment, it looked as if he were going to totally ignore her.
No. He will choose to take his own life. That way he saves his family honor from shame.
Harakiri. Going to chill himself with a sword?
No, foolish grandmother. Harakiri is vulgar and common, to be used by peasants and people of low class, outlanders and stupid old women.
So what's the right way to describe spilling your guts on the floor?
Seppuku. Done not with a sword, but with a knife.